everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes. What's new? Well, Augie's here. That's new because it isn't the AI-generated avatar version. We're not going to make him fat or put a silly wig on him or turn him into a woman this week. He actually complained to the boss. Anyway, where are we going to start? Well, we're going to start in Ukraine. And guess what? There's been peace negotiations, you know, in Geneva. And we're always happy to see peace negotiations, right, Augie? We're big fans of peace negotiations. But there's somebody, Augie, who doesn't seem to be quite as big a fan of peace or peace negotiations as you or me or Volvo up the road, the boss, or anybody, the Americans. Of course, we know the Europeans aren't too fond of it. Who do you think that might be, Augie?
Well, it's definitely not the Ukrainians that being dragged to the front line.
So what happened was, of course, obviously Zelensky was told by the guys at the negotiations, even Budanov, you know, with his little Kabbalah bracelet. Yeah, weird. Budanov at the negotiations, I believe, and I was told by some sources who may know, that we should probably do a deal. Time is probably running out, you know. There's no soldiers left, you know, no ammunition, no money. It's gone to shit. We should probably... No, we shouldn't. We should fight on. It's very much like downfall kind of level, right? Because what has Zelensky got to gain from peace? Let's do a list. Nothing. Lose his life, lose his job, lose all the cash, be exposed for stealing all the shit and all the people who've been killed. And then all the numbers about all the real debt numbers are going to come out. And then the Europeans are going to know they're shit. So they're going to have to then reveal all the shit about Zelensky. They'll hang him out to dry. So will the Americans. So he's got a whole lot of shit. Nothing to gain from peace. And you never guessed it when he ran to his old British friend, Piers Morgan. Yes, Piers, nodding like a nodding dog at the back of a Korean taxi driver's car, you know, clapping like a seal. This guy has absolutely no dignity whatsoever, really. Come on, Piers, you know, man up and unblock me on Twitter while you're at it. Run the video, Augie.
And I can definitely speak about it and etc. But I don't need to waste time on historic issues, reasons why he began, all this, I think, bullshit, what he's raising with Americans and etc., that it's not simple things about the Peter the First and etc. I don't need it. Because for end this war and to go to diplomatic way, I don't need all this historical shit. Really?
Yeah. So you should never worry yourself about historical shit, right? In that case, let's forget about Bucha. Nine, nine. Let's forget about Holodomor. Nine, nine, nine. Let's forget about all the shit that you made up anyway, which isn't real history. And let's forget about the fact that maybe Ukraine isn't a real country that was made by Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Maybe you didn't even exist as a country until the Soviets decided you did. But let's forget about history, eh, Augie?
Jay, I know what we should forget if we don't like history, Zelensky. Bandera, that's what we should forget.
No, that's history that we do like, because we put up statues to that motherfucker. And the 1st of January, New Year's Day, is Bandera Day, yeah? We put these motherfuckers on stamps. We put people that killed children, fought with the Nazis against, you know, the allies of the Americans and the British. Remember that? We put the people who did all that on stamps. And even put this guy on some stamps in Ukraine. But the Russians, let's say, dealt with that problem sometime later. Now, speaking about the end of days, right? You know, they say like 90% of communication is visual, right, Augie? You can look at somebody. You can look at somebody. You can look them straight in the eye and see, well, this person's telling me the truth. I'm a bit, you know, concerned about that. Women have a great radar for perverts. You know, well, that's what the girls in the office say about Augie. But when you have a look at Mr. Zelensky, you kind of, you get a bit of, he's a bit... a bit preoccupied with something. It's like he's got something on his mind, yeah, or he's taking something. The narco-fear, a lot of, you remember, big personalities have called out Z and saying, look, come on, get some help, bro. You're interested in the Colombian talcum powder.
I don't need all this historical shit.
We can see it. Everyone can see it. But he seems to be particularly under a particular, let's say, pressure at the moment, right, Augie? Yeah, this is something else. Run it, Augs. Now, look at this guy. Look, leader of the free world. Mr. Churchillovsky. Yeah, look at him. Churchillenko. The Ukrainian Churchill. Churchillenko.
Actually, Chase, CNN just came out with the article claiming that Zelensky looks like this because he drinks black coffee with no sugar every morning.
Ah, that's f***ing what it is. That's what it is. I should have known. Now, of course, as Zelensky is obviously under huge pressure, he can't end the war, but he's going to have to end the war. He's got no more men left to fight it, and he's dragging people off the streets. It's all gone. There's nowhere else to turn. The Europeans are probably even getting a bit sick of him, okay? Now, meanwhile, in Ukraine, there's an increase in social disharmony, let's say. Basically, Ukraine is eating itself alive. It's a death of a thousand cuts. The people who stayed because they had to, have got an elderly relative, or they got a business, or they've nowhere else to go, haven't got the money to get out, are being harassed. It's a police state. It's a brutal dictatorship. And now the death cult of Bandera has also added an extra little layer of icing to this sort of death cake in Ukraine. This bizarre phenomenon now, when somebody who's been killed in the war, and believe me, there's a ton of people have been killed in the war. There's 1.5 million people now killed and seriously injured in Ukraine. That was released by the Russian ministry. And they tend to get it right, okay? All this projection that this is Russia, like 30 million Russians died last month. I mean, nobody around here in Russia seems to be able to see them. There's a lot of people to get down on your knees for. This is a bizarre, as I say, like so almost occult sort of bizarre behavior in tiny little villages across Ukraine, in the big cities, when one of the dead dudes that died for Mark Rutte, died for Ursula von der Leyen, died for the Starmer Fuhrer, you got to drop down on your knees in the pissing wet or in the snow. If you don't, you're liable to get a visit from the Gestapo. Absolutely bizarre Orwellian stuff. Really, really spooky.
And of course, there are Bandera flags.
Oh, you have to have the OUNUPA, black and red. Yeah, the Nazi flags. Look. You gotta get down on your knees. Get down on your knees. Get on your knees for the Führer!
Che, isn't Ukraine a free country? If you don't want to stand on your knees,
yes,
in a cold snow,
it's free. It's free. For the dictatorship to take loads of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, that's free. It's free to steal the money from the energy grid and then go to have a stroll on the beach in Israel. It's free to beat the shit out of people on the roads, drag them out of their churches, knock them down. You're free to kill journalists like Gonzalo Lira. You're free to do anything you want. Bomb people, shoot airplanes down full of your prisoners. You're free to do all that shit. But what you're not free to do is have an ordinary life as a civilian or as a citizen. Because it's going from bad to worse for ordinary Ukrainians. It's really getting grim.
I wonder what will happen if you refuse to stand on your knees in Ukraine.
Yeah, well, we can actually show you what happens if you dare to dissent from Zelensky's Gestapo. It's getting more and more brutal, more and more violent. Just like Gaza, I think these images and these videos, Augie, of people getting pulled from the streets, it's getting more and more, people are getting more and more sort of immune to it. But this one is particularly brutal. Kicks in the face, pistol whipped in the head. It's just bizarre, bizarre stuff. And meanwhile, what are the Europeans doing? They're falling on their knees to worship the golden effigy of the Churchillenko, the great Ukrainian Churchill. Churchillenko, you know? That's the f***ing post-truth reality we're living in right now in Europe. Jesus, help us. Somebody run the video, Augie. Boom, kicking him out. A few shots in the air. Bang, watch the pistol whip in the mouth.
Yep,
bang.
There we go.
And these are women, right?
Yep.
So this is women's rights in the EU, right?
I mean, they're not transgender women, so who cares?
Oh, they're not transgender. Let them beat them up. Yeah. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. Imagine the same people who are paying the wages of these Nazis who are beating the crap out of women on the streets, the very same people are telling you that they stand for freedom of speech, liberty, women's rights. Look what's actually happening on the streets of Ukraine. Time to wake up, Europe. Wakey, fucking wakey. Now you can ask yourself, how could it possibly be, right, Augie, that while preaching one thing, propping up this dictatorship in Ukraine, this criminal syndicate in Ukraine. Now, the evidence is out there. Nobody can deny anything we say about what's actually happening in Ukraine. But it's okay because it might cause the Russians a problem, okay? One of the things that's causing them a problem right now in Europe, I can tell you for sure, I'm a guy that knows about Europe having a problem with free speech. Yeah, hello, Romania. I'll be seeing you soon, by the way. They also have a problem, not only with the truth, and controlling the narrative of anybody like us, even telling, showing people on social media, on TV, what's actually happened. They've got a problem with the concept of free speech, right, Augie? And one of our friends, old Mike Crowleyan, you know, who is gay. We're not going to say now, maybe he's gay. We know he's gay now, right? Because Jeffrey told us, yeah. Macron, this very unfortunate character, you know, a hapless clown, bashed by his geriatric wife, husband, boyfriend, partner, whatever you want to call it. And now he has declared something very interesting. And again, I think this is this week's we've told you so moment, Augie, right? So we're going to rest it. We told you so moment. I mean, look, this is basically like a fortune teller show. This is great. We told you that the EU and the Westoids generally think free speech is bullshit. So they ban RT. That's why we're banned. That's why you got to kind of poke around a little bit. You got to be not lazy to find the Moscow Mule Show, but more and more you are finding it, and we know. Hello, darlings. They hate free speech. They hate it. They just don't want you to see it. We've just shown you right now. And they even think the concept of freedom of speech is what, Augie?
It's bullshit.
It's la bullshit. La merde. Oui, oui. Is bullshit. Here we have Mr. Mike Crowleyan, the domestically abused, you know, boy who was interfered with by his teacher when he was 15. Maybe all the shit's coming back to haunt him. Here he is saying the quiet part out loud on the video.
Because, I mean, free speech is a pure
bullshit. There it is. That's it. Okay, game over. Show over. We should just play that on loop. Every time they talk about Russia, India, Afghanistan, Pakistan, everything they ever told you about defending liberty, free speech, it's all
absolute bullshit. Dear viewers, don't fall for this again.
Remember, you heard it here first. Now, where you've got a bitchy little, you know, peculiar, you know, closet gay Frenchman, you usually have a peculiar little corrupt, serial liar and fraud closet gay Englishman not far behind. And in this case, it's our friend, the Starmer Fuhrer. Well, while not inflicting Starmageddon on the poor old UK, he's busy making and he had to get on board with the whole free speech debate by having a go at poor old Elon and Grok. Now, let's just give you a bit of background to the Grok thing. Grok is a very powerful AI tool. It'll do as it's asked to do by human beings. Grok doesn't want to undress children or women or anybody else. It has to be asked to do that, okay? Obviously, X knows that. It basically made this a premium service that you'd have to ask to do. By the way, as Augie showed me on his own phone, about 20 apps that do this stuff, which he uses regularly. So if you do see him taking a picture out in public, be very careful. So this isn't unique to Grok, but it's a way of attacking Elon Musk. Why? Because Elon Musk has no problem with people like me telling you what's going on here in Russia. It has no problem with people talking about Epstein. It has no problem talking about anything at all on X. It's probably one of the last actual free marketplaces where you can exchange opinions. A lot of idiots on there, of course. So let's have a look at Mr. Starmer, the Starmer Fuhrer, getting on board about Grok. Grok is the centre of all evil. Forget Mr. Mandelson. Forget those four Ukrainian rent boys. Yeah, none of that could happen. Did you Grok that? Was that made up on Grok? The boys burning your house and your car? Mm-hmm. Let's have a look. Run it, Uggs.
I'm so glad you've raised this.
And I was taught to do this in politics school.
Most people in the room will
watch
know
the hand.
We Grok just a few weeks ago.
Watch the hand.
But it was grotesque. Having an ability to instruct an AI bot to undress a few women.
Watch the hand. Watch
it. Is just so grotesque and disgusting that you'd think it wouldn't be allowed. You'd think that platform provider, once they saw it, would say, take that down.
Now we're gone.
But that wasn't the case. We went into battle on Grok.
We went to battle on Grok.
The platform provider, the first response was not get rid of this disgusting.
He's only got three moves in the
room.
I can feel a strong leadership.
I feel something rising inside me.
That is the battle we're in.
It's not the first time Keir said that.
I like the terms that he's using. Well, battle, war with Grok.
I think there's an old term they use in English. It's actually Shakespearean, I think. I think it is. You're all going to tell me, yeah, it's not Shakespearean. I think it's Shakespearean, and it goes like this. Methinks he doth protest too much, which means when someone gets too sort of denies something too much or gets too wound up about something, why? Now, why would the Starmer Fuhrer be so aggressively upset? He even used more than two of his hand signals. He used the bobbing hand. He used the karate chop. Why is he so bothered about Grok?
Well, Che, at our underground laboratory of studying the most retarded people on Earth, after a long investigation, I think we found out what's the reason Mr. Starmer is so willing to go to war with Grok.
To war with Grok.
And we have prepared a presentation for you, our dear viewers.
Interesting. Run, Augie.
Yeah, that's
Jesus.
The shit.
No! Oh, Jesus.
That's with Mandelson.
Mandelson as well? Tell me when it's over. Oh.
You have to look, Che. You have to look. It's your job.
Oh. Is it gone? Is it over yet? Oh, Jesus Christ. That's ruined. I'll never look at a beautiful woman in a bikini again. I'll keep seeing that. Now that we've left the beach of hell in my mind where I see Starmer in his bikini, we can probably get back to the real world, but it's not actually the real world. It's a very unreal world. Now, some of our older viewers will probably remember that during Soviet times, towards the end of the Soviet Union, this very, you know, desperate attempt to stop information coming into the Soviet Union. Of course, the European Union is now essentially the Soviet Union, minus the free housing, minus the free healthcare, minus the space program, minus the low crime figures, minus the illegal immigration. But, you know, it's got everything else, like the mind control, the information control, this desperate need to control information. That's the EU right now. The Americans, right, Augie, have come out with a plan to open a portal which will basically let you see all the stuff that's banned in the EU. You'll be able to watch it in this American website. It's absolutely great. That means Moscow Mules is going to be broadcast by the US State Department. Who would have thought, eh, Augie?
Well, I sure hope we're going to be popular among European dissidents.
Oh, yeah. All the Europeans who have IQs above, 12 will enjoy the show, because they already do. Let's have a look at somebody else talking about Europeans with an IQ of less than 12. Let's talk about old Fred Mertz, right? Very difficult to look at Fred. He just looks always like a perpetually worried school teacher. And he's got plenty to worry about, because lots is going on in Germany, right, Augie, that wouldn't exactly, you know, encourage you. A stagnant economy, lots of shit in the pipe there, right, Augs?
Absolutely correct. You see, Che, because the German leadership can't count for shit, their economy is in the shit too. German economy, according to the latest report from Reuters, remains stuck and set for just 1% growth in 2026. And my dear viewers, when Reuters says 1% growth, that probably means it's going to be negative.
Yeah, yeah. And remember, you know, Germany was the powerhouse. It was the big boy. It was the big beating heart, the big dynamo of the European economy. That was until, cue Mr. Sikorsky, well done, USA, until they cut off their supply of Russian energy. That was the genius move. Let's have a look at Fred, ex-BlackRock CEO, by the way. Yeah, that means nothing. Don't worry about that. Don't forget about that. Let's look at him. This is the guy in charge of the numbers, remember? Getting the numbers all wrong. He apparently thinks that the war in Ukraine has been going on longer than the Second World War. Maybe not, Fred. Run it, Augie.
Der Krieg in der Ukraine dauert jetzt in wenigen Tagen 4 Jahre. Der dauert jetzt schon länger als der Zweite Weltkrieg.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, at least you know in Europe, okay? At least in this terrible time of, you know, insecurity, economic, shrinkage, and, conflict potentially with big nuclear powers. At least we know that the right people are in charge, Augie.
Absolutely. Don't you feel safe with a leadership like Mertz?
Now, Augie, rooting around the dustbins, has found something which we think is very pertinent. Back in medieval times, now you may not know this, our Augie, Organus, is a bit of a historian. And we're going to be doing a little bit of a historical program soon. Keep an eye out for it. It's going to be great fun.
That's why I got so offended when Zelensky flapped his lips on history.
Yeah, exactly. So you may not know that Augie is a bit of a historian, a bit of an expert in this. And Augie will confirm that in ancient times, a flag was essentially used to show what was going on the battlefield, different colours, so that you could easily identify in the fog of war, this chaos of battle, you could see that your king was still on his horse. So the flag was very, very important. Okay, it was an essential thing for morale. You know, likewise, turning a flag upside down is the international distress signal. If you turn up your national flag upside down, it's a sign of distress. It's you know, that there's serious problems. Now, let's have a look at this little video of what we think is definitive of what's actually happening in Europe. We think Europe is in quite some distress, right, Augie? You agree?
You judge for yourself, guys, after you watch this video.
Judge yourselves. Run that video, Augie. Here we go.
Looks all right, right? Giant flag, military band tries to raise it.
Looking good so far.
Looking good?
All good so far.
And then...
Oh, this is at the point where the Spanish Prime Minister announced he was going to give visas into the EU for 500,000 illegal immigrants, right? The news came through and the flag straight down on the floor. This is what we, you know, call it a bad moment for Spain. Right, Augie? Now, of course, the Munich conference was last week. We kind of left that behind in the rearview mirror. But one thing Augie spotted, which was very interesting, a correspondent for one of the most trusted media outlets in the world. Yes, Bloomberg. Very, highbrow. Where Bloomberg said it has to be happening. Yeah. So you would imagine that the people doing the writing for Bloomberg would it just be as trustworthy and as, you know, highbrow and as have as much integrity as the title itself. Well, if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. Because we've got a little video of a Bloomberg correspondent, let's say, getting a bit animated about Viktor Orban and Marco Rubio. Augie, is quite bizarre. Who is this man?
His name is Thomas Eskrit. And he attended this recent conference and seems like he got a little bit nervous about what's being told.
Yeah, a little bit animated, let's say. Let's have a look. Run it, Augie. Look at this dude.
Look at the hands.
What?
Dude.
What?
It looks like Alzheimer's.
What's going on here, Augie?
I think he's losing his sh-
Yeah. Because tell us a bit about Bloomberg. What's the story with them?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, okay. Jake, Bloomberg is one of the most respectable publishers out there. And
so we're told.
And to confirm this with us, the reviewers, I suggest you compare two headlines by Bloomberg. One is Russia moves to annex occupied Ukrainian land. Another, Israel moves to assert ownership rights in the West Bank. And my favorite part being that between 2018 to 2025, Bloomberg has predicted recession in Russian economy 7 times. None of those predictions ever came true.
7 times. So if you give, I've got a, it's just like saying something's bad. You go to a fortune teller every day. Every day, for your whole life, you go to a fortune teller, right? And they say to you, you will walk outside and a pigeon on your head. You go every day. But the day it happens, they ask you to pay them twice because they say, you know, I got you right. It's just bull.
I feel like it's more common with their another narrative, which is China will collapse in 2 weeks.
So as Bloomberg is predicting the imminent economic collapse of Russia every couple of weeks, you know, just keep throwing the muck at the wall till something sticks. How are things looking in the US, Doggy?
Oh, they look perfectly fine. And I have a video prepared for YouTube which illustrates the jolly old life in Philadelphia.
Jolly old life in Philadelphia, oh boy. I say what? Let's take a trip down the highway of the American dream in Philadelphia, no less. Yeah, Philadelphia, here I come. Oh, no one as well.
Living American dream.
Oh, I hate to see people like this. It's just terrible, isn't it?
I don't know, Che. At least their economy is not collapsing.
Their economy is not collapsing. The Dow is up. The Dow is up 50 points. Stop looking at this. And by the way, burn all those Epstein files. Even the 3 million ones we didn't release.
Oh, you okay, man?
Look at this guy. He's clearly doing great. This guy is admiring the fine metal work of American engineers.
Ah, yes.
This guy bought so much, he's digging through his groceries.
It all looks good to me. That just looks like,
just American fashion.
On an invisible toilet. Maybe he's a relative of Joe Biden. Oh, look, it's something from Star Wars. They're wearing cloaks. It's a Jedi. No, it's not. It's a drug dealer.
I guess they're getting some of those forces.
Good. What the f***?
Okay, Thomas.
This video is like 3 minutes long. I'm not going to play all of it.
Yeah, and just let me just tell you something categorically. Just like there's nobody getting dragged off the streets here in Russia to go and fight for the war. They're all volunteers. There is literally nowhere you can go in Russia to see that kind of complete collapse of a society. It just doesn't exist here. So right or wrong, whatever you think, they're two realities. And by the way, check China too. Ain't happening there either. All the bad guys seem to be getting it right. So we're going to round up with a positive note. Why not? And this is a very funny video that Augie and I kind of spotted of Mr. Milei from Argentina and Mr. Orban from Hungary. Two very interesting men, two very dynamic, let's say, and very admired people, particularly in Europe. Not. They're sitting at the back of the class. Like, it's like any kind of old schoolroom, you know? The two messers, the two playmen at the back, having a bit of fun, singing into the microphone, Milei and Orban, having a bit of crack. And interesting, if you look in front of them, I think that's Gianni Infantino from FIFA, who's a big fan of getting Russia back on the field in international competition as well. So we're a big fan of Gianni Infantino. He's getting involved too. It just seems like the vibe here was just good fun. They were enjoying themselves. They were together. A lot of like-minded people. Why is that such a crime? Why is it so bad to see two guys having a bit of fun? Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Run it, Augie. Hey, look at them here. Oh, my Lord. What music are they playing at the Board of Peace?
I mean, Trump is a musical man, isn't he?
He's a musical man. Now, a quick little note on the Board of Peace, right? We think here in the Muscat Mules, any project that brings people together, where two countries like Armenia and Azerbaijan, by the way, who greet each other and shook hands at the conference, this is stuff that doesn't happen at the UN. It doesn't happen anywhere else. Remember, most of the people criticizing any movements for peace are the people who want to continue fighting wars. And Augie, you've made an interesting point that the little countries that are here are the ones that are suffering the wars themselves.
That's correct. If you think about this, yes, those Board of Peace is some small countries, but those countries, they want peace, while Europe wants more bloodshed.
And Europe was nowhere to be seen. That's why everyone's having a good time. So that brings us to the end of another episode of Moscow Mules. Great fun making it. Great to have you along. And what we really think this week's episode really illustrates is the fact that despite the attempts to hold it back, truth is starting to, you know, bubble into the cavern where all these Western elites are. The water level is rising. Everything from the rules-based order that we were told by Mark Carney, the Canadian leader, wasn't a thing. We all played along to it. We knew it was bullshit. That's okay. It wasn't a proxy war in Ukraine against Russia, but now it is. Russia's going to invade, but it can't finish the job in Ukraine. All the bullshit seems to be bubbling out, and of course Macron this week saying that free speech is bullshit. Well, if free speech is bullshit, you're going to hear a hell of a lot more bullshit from Shay and Augie here on the Moscow Mules. Same time, same place next week. We know you're going to join us. Until then, look after yourselves, and we'll see you soon.